Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Ayin, and the beginning of the daf continues this question, this doubt of whether we look at the core that grew before it was planted, or we look at the new growth. We can start again at that point. Back on Samach Tesam and Beis. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 lines before the bottom, sort of like a third of the way up. Boy, Reb Shimon ben Pazi. Reb Shimon ben Pazi had a following question. Shibolas shevia shlish kodem la'omer. If you have a stalk that already grew a third, it ripened to a full third before the omer was brought. Then va'akara. Then it was uprooted. And then Shasla, it was replanted La'achar HaOmer, after the Omer was brought. Vosifa, now it regrew. And now there's mostly the new growth. So Mahu, what's the halacha of this stalk? Basar Ikar Azlina, do we look at the core? The core had grown before the Omer. So it's permitted by the Omer. And therefore Sharye Omer, this thing was permitted by the Omer. Odilmar, maybe Basar Tosefas Azlina. The main thing is the addition later. And therefore now, Achiyavo Omer Abba, we need to wait till the next Omer for it to be permitted. Says the Gemara, Tifshatli, maybe we can resolve it from the following. Mehadza Amar Rebavo Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rebavo says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Ahalach in regards to Orla. Orla is the fruit of a young tree that's less than 3 years old. It's prohibited. You can't get any benefit. So what happens if we're not sure how to date this, whether it's a young tree or an old tree? Why? Because Yalda, you have a young tree, which is less than 3 years old. It has fruit. But then you cut that tree, and Sibcha Biskena, and now you graft it onto an old tree that's already 7 years old. Uva Peros, in the young tree, there was fruits. And now, Afilu Hosef Masayim, now the two things have grown together, so much so that the new growth is 200 times as much as what was, as the way it was when it started. The new growth is 200 times as much as what was put into this old tree. What, can you eat it? No, Asr L'Ochlam, you're not allowed to eat it. So what do you see? We don't look at the new growth, we look at the way it was when it started. When it started, it was a young tree with less than 3 years, with some fruits, Arla. So now it's prohibited. Even though now it's grown so much as part of the new, part of the old tree, it stays prohibited. So let's say the same thing. Now Lakula, in regards to a stalk, it was cut down before the Omer. The Omer therefore permits it. Now that it's replanted after the Omer and so much of it regrows, so what? We look at the Ikar, we look at the core. Gemara says, maybe that's not a proof. Amar Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, I'm sorry, the Gemara suggests a second proof. Amar Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Reb Yonah's son. Here's another proof. Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni says, name Reb Yonah's son. Batzel Sheshaslo Bekerem. Let's say you have an onion planted in a vineyard. So once it grows in the vineyard, it becomes Kilaya Kerem. It becomes prohibited. Oh, thank you. It becomes a mixture of a vegetable in a vineyard, which is now prohibited. And then, v'nekara kerem, now the vineyard was uprooted. So the root, the core, is a mixture of onion with vines. The core is prohibited, but now the vineyard's uprooted. And now it grows more. Even if it grows 200 times more than what it was when it started, still us, or it stays prohibited. So here too you see, that we look at the core, we don't look at the regrowth. If the core, the beginning, is no good, even if now the growing later should make it good, it stays no good. So Gemara says, no, these are not proofs. He gufa kami bayalei, because even though we accept these laws, we still have a question. Because what's the concept here? Is it that Nifshet Pshita Leila Rabbanan Debaser Ikaras Linan? Is it in these two cases that Amar of Shmuel Bar Nachmeni and the case of Reb Shimon ben, and the case of Reb Avo Amar of Yochanan? Is it that in both of these cases, namely the onion in the vineyard and the arla that's grafted, that the rabbis are really sure Debaser Ikaras Linan, that the main thing is the core, and therefore the core is what sets the tone, loshna l'kula v'loshna l'chumra. They would say that the core set the tone, both as a leniency or as a stringency. So then, and you could apply it here too, because even here, though it's to be a leniency, we're basically following the core. But there's another way to understand it. Dilma sfuki misafkaluhu. Maybe there is a doubt. We are unsure whether we should follow the core or whether we should follow the new growth. And they are saying that in these questions of prohibitions, of Kilaya Kerem and Orla, be machmir, be strict, because you're not sure. One second, so if it's based on a suffix, maybe it's based on a suffix and they're just saying to be strict because of the chumrah, when you have a suffix. So now if they're only saying based on a chumrah that it is Kilaya Kerem or it is Orla, so now in regards to Chadash, in regards to the Omer permitting it, but they're not sure. So again, based on a suffix, you should be machmir. So you shouldn't permit, you should say it's strict. So therefore, Dilma may be there, psak in these other cases of Orlan, Klayak, Karem, is Fuki Misafkalu, is that they are in doubt. And therefore, if it's based on a doubt and they're just being strict, then Lachumra Aminan, Lakula Lo Aminan. You could only say it Lachumra to follow the core, but not that based on following the core, you can be Makel. So the truth is, we don't know, Teku, and we're going to leave it as a question. And now today's daf is going to go on with further applications of this question. We've seen this question of basar ikaras linan, or basar, you know, tzemach sheni as linan. Do we follow the core? Do we follow the second growth in regards to three issues, in regards to arla, kilaya karem, and chadash? Now we're going to see it in regards to other issues of halacha. Yeah, question, Almog?
I was asking about Omer, Chadash and everything. So the answer should also be there, just like this. I don't get the whole. If you're going to go, okay, theoretically.
No, but then if it's Sveik Alechumra, you're saying you're not following Ikar. You're not following the core that was cut down.
No, I'm talking about he was asking about Shibboleth. He cut the Shibboleth down
before the Omer, but he replants it after the Omer, and now it grew. So Lechumra would be to say you can't eat it until the next Omer,
okay.
Which means not Batar Ikar Azlinan, but Batar Tzemach Azlinan. So that's our question. Is there a rule that we're always Batar Ikar, or is there a rule that we're always Lechumra? If the rule is we're always Lechumra, sometimes it'll be Basar Ikar, the two cases of Kilaya Kerem and Arla, because that's the Chumra there. And then Omer would be a different Chumra. But that's not resolving our question.
Generally in Halacha, when there's an uncertainty, we are lenient?
So no, on biblical matters, we are strict.
On rabbinical, we're lenient.
All right, so now other issues with the same question. When you have a plant that grew enough to be viable, was cut down, and then replanted and grew tons more. Is it that the first part is gone? Just look at how it was regrown. Or do we say, no, the first part established it. Even though it grew a ton more, it's just following the way it was in the first part. That's the question. So now, Bayi Rabba. Rabba asks a question. We asked it about Omer. We asked it about Klayak Kerem. We asked it about Arla. Now what about Linyan Meiser? What about in regards to the law of Meiser, of separating 10% and giving it to the Levi? What was the question? The question was like this. Kigon, like this. Plants grew a third. Dam dinu, they were then harvested. Vasrinu. And 10% was taken off of these stalks that had grown a third and given to the Levi. Then, they didn't make the pot. Then Vishatlinu. Then they went and they replanted these stalks. Vosifaluhu. And they grew a ton more. And now they cut it again. So now what's the halacha? Im Timtzalomar, if you're going to say, Loaz Linan Basar Ikar, that we don't necessarily follow the fact that it was cut down before, when it's replanted and regrows, now it can have a new identity. And therefore, Tosefes Boyasuri, the fact that it regrew, that new growth needs to have a Meister taken from it. So Ikar Mai, now what about the stalks that were planted? Do they need a second Meister from them or not? That's the question. Amar Le Abaye, Abaye said, of course they would need a second Meister. Maishna Mikol Chiti V'sari Da'alma. How is this any different than any wheat or barley? Any wheat or barley are planted in the ground, things grow from them. And now it grows, you have to separate Meister from everything, not just from the stalks, but also Meister of the roots, if the roots are still around, even though the roots that were first planted had had Meister separated from them, so what? Now they become a plant, so of course. Amalei, so Rava said back to Abaye, no, there's a difference. Davar shazaru kalalami bayli. Of course, if you plant something and the seed disintegrates into a root, so now you have to separate Meister from the whole plant, including from the root. Hikami bayli, my question is about stalks that are davar shein zaro kala, where the stalks that are replanted, they did not disintegrate into roots. They are still stalks. So if they are still stalks and they had had Meister taken from them, so okay, the new growth, fine, you'll separate Meister from. But what about the roots? You already separated Meister from these roots. Maybe you don't need to separate another Meister from these roots now that there's something growing from them. So my, what's the halacha? So Gemara says, maybe we can prove the answer to this question too. Tifshutle, he could resolve it. Mehad Amar Reb Yitzchak Amar Reb Yochanan. From this, Reb Yitzchak said in the name of Reb Yochanan. Litra batzel. If a person has an entire liter of onions, shetikno, that shumos and maisos were taken out of this liter. So now it's not tevel anymore. It's kosher. And then zaro. Then he plants this liter of onions in a field. And now new plants grow out of the liter of onions. What's the halacha? Misaser lefi kulo. Let's say the new growth is 2 liters, plus there was a liter put in. He has to take out of 3 liters maaser, 10%. So what do you see? That even though the onions have not disintegrated, they didn't become roots. And these onions that were planted, before they were planted, they had Meister taken from them. But now that there's a new growth, so now we need Meister for the new growth. We also need Meister for these roots as well, for these foundations again. So Gemara says, no, there's a difference. Hasam in regards to onions. Hainuzri also. That's the norm, that when it's planted, the onion is planted, not a seed. And the onion doesn't disintegrate. But hacha, in regards to stalks of wheat, lav hainuzri also. It's not normal to replant a stalk that grew a third and was cut. The norm is that you take seeds of wheat and you plant them and they disintegrate. But here you're replanting a stalk. So here, where it's not normal, maybe now the fact that it regrew doesn't make the original identity lost. The original identity is still there. Maybe you only need to take Meister from the new growth, but not from the stalks that have been replanted. All right, another similar question.
Didn't we go, when we went to Israel, we went to that place where they took the seeds and they germinated it in perfect conditions, and they had acres planted on tables, you know, small little plants. So if they had, the 10% from those and replanted them, they would take it again.
We're going to get to that. The Gemara is going to talk about the issue of flower pots. We did talk about that during Shnita. Atzitz nakuv and atzitz she'eno nakuv. If you have a flower pot that doesn't have a hole, so then it's not considered in the ground anymore. It's considered in a flower pot. So that they'll have special halachos. In regards to Shemitah, what we saw was that they were able to plant vegetables in it. And we'll see in regards to Meister, that's on this staff, yes.
The Meister comes from the production. What is that to do with the roots?
What do you mean by the deduction?
I mean, just whatever is, the plan is produced, 10% goes to your formation.
No, but
do
you count
about
the roots?
Roots too? The roots,
right, because these roots had their mice already separated, but now that they've grown new stuff, do we say that now they're part of the new stuff? Or we say they still exist the way they were?
Oh.
So they're already fine. You just have to take out of the new stuff. That's the question. Is it double taxation or is it a new thing now?
New York State or Texas?
Another question. Rav Chanina, the son of Manyumi, said to Abaye, Atzit Sheino Nakov Mahu. What's the law with the flower pot that doesn't have a hole? So in other words, let's say this is Roger's case. There's a table. So there are no holes in the table. And on top of the table, there are flower pots. So now the flower pots are not considered to have holes because on their bottom, there's a bottom that doesn't have a hole. And you've planted in these flower pots, I don't know, 50 cabbage plants. And you have next to the table in the ground a row of 50 cabbage plants. Can you take maaser from the cabbage plants that are in the flower pots on behalf of the cabbage plants that are in the ground? Because maybe that's right. As Izzy points out, the flower pot that doesn't have a hole is considered not really in the ground. So there the obligation is only midrabanan, whereas the cabbage in the ground is d'oraisa. So could you separate maaser from that which is obligated midrabanan on behalf of that which is obligated mid'oraisa? That was the question of Chanina bar Manyumi asked Abaye.
Then flower pot get tameh? Because it's not considered in the ground?
Oh, also true, yeah.
Yeah.
So now Abaye says to Rav Chanina bar Manyumi, I don't understand the question. Im lo nakov halo nakov. If the flower pot doesn't have a hole, so then of course it doesn't have a hole. It's not obligated. So you couldn't use it for things that are in the ground. You could use it for things that are not in the ground. So the Gemara explains. Dilma chazer v'nakva karmina. Maybe the question is like this. You planted in a flower pot that didn't have a hole, and the thing grew a bit. Then you made a hole in the flower pot, and it keeps growing. So now it's a similar question. Do we say that the new growth is obligated in Maaser Midoraisa? And therefore even the old growth gets pulled after it, and it would be obligated mida oraisa. And then you could separate maaser from this flower pot, because the new is biblically obligated and the old is also biblically obligated now. Or maybe the root, the core, doesn't follow the new growth. So the new growth is obligated mida oraisa, but the core of this plant, which grew when it was still with no hole, is only obligated mida rabbanan. And therefore, the new growth is obligated mida oraisa. You can't separate from that which is obligated mida oraisa and that which is only obligated mida rabbana. Maybe that's the question. So Abaye said, no, that's not a question. That's certainly obligated mida oraisa, the original core. And you could separate maaser from the new growth even on behalf of the initial core. And it's not like the question of Rava about a stalk that's replanted. Because if you have a flower pot where things began to grow when it didn't have a hole, and then it got a hole and things continued to grow. So it's one long plant growth. It's all one long plant. And it's all connected. Therefore, va'ola, without a question, the root, the first part that grew when it was without a hole, is certainly the same as the plant that grew once there is a hole, and therefore the whole thing is considered now obligated. But hasam, but in the question of a stalk, shteiz rios dinu, it was two plantings. It grew a third, then it was cut, then it was replanted. That's a different question. Whether a replanting will take away the original core or not. All right, so now a similar question. Why, Rabbi Vo had a question. Shiboles, let's say you have a stalk that was cut down, and more than cut down, now it was put into the pile, and mircha bikri, and the pile was smoothed out. So now it was obligated in shumos and maestros. And then v'shasla, then it was replanted, and things grew. And then kara le'ashem, he called it truma or meiser b'mechuba when it was still attached to the ground. So mahu, what's the halacha in this case? Is it that came into mercha tavlala, since it was in a pile that was smoothed out, it became tevel, it became obligated in trumas and meisos and tevel, it has the name tevel, with trumas and meisos not separated from it. Therefore, now that it's replanted, kikara le'ashem kachala, even though it's replanted and it's in the ground, if he calls this plant that's growing again truma, it becomes holy. Odomer maybe kevon deshasla, once he plants it, pakale tivlamina, that removes the status of tevel. So calling a plant that's growing truma means nothing. So that was the question of Rabbi Vo. Amile Rabbanan la Abaye, the rabbi said to Abaye, I understand. You can have things attached to the ground and they are truma. It's not, but don't we have a Mishnah that says, lo matzinu truma b'machubah l'karka. If something's attached to the ground, it could never be truma. So here you have a case where it could be truma. If that which is attached to the ground is a growth from something which already was tevel. Amar lei, Sabaya said back to the Bnei Yeshiva, Kitanyahi, when that Brisa said that there's no truma, and that which is attached to the ground, maybe is le'inyan misa v'chomesh, in regards to the fact that someone who's a non-Kohen, who eats truma on purpose, he deserves death from heaven. Or someone who's a non-Kohen eats truma by mistake, he has to pay a fifth, pay back the principal, plus another fifth. That maybe doesn't apply to truma attached to the ground. Detalish v'achil, only if he detaches it from the ground. Talishu, that's a normal act of eating. However, yigachin v'achil, if it's attached to the ground and he bends over and eats it when it's still attached to the ground, bakla daito etzel kol adam, that's not a normal act of eating. Most people don't eat like that, bent over and eating off of what's still attached to the ground. People detach, bring it to them, and then eat it. They don't bow down to the food and eat it where the food is. So that's what it's saying. If it's not a normal act of eating, he wouldn't get misa for eating it. If he was a czar and the shogeg, he wouldn't have to pay the principal and another fifth. But maybe it is truma. Maybe it is truma when it was attached to the ground. And if it is truma, once he detaches it and eats it, there would be all the laws. So Gemara says, I don't understand. Umayshna. What's going on here? Why is this different when he bends down to eat versus eating something that he detaches from the ground? Why is this different? Midichseva pinkasa de Ilsa, from that which is written in the notebook of Ilfa. What happens when a bird dies? So beitze nivla sa'ofatar. Let's say a kosher chicken dies, and now it's an avela. And when you open up this dead carcass, you find inside eggs. Miktsasan bachutz. Some of the egg is outside of the bird. Umiktsasan bifnim. And some of it is inside the bird. So some of the egg is inside the intestine, some of it is outside of the intestine. So the law is, mi bifnim, the part of the egg that was inside. Right, if the man puts his face into the intestines of the bird and he eats this egg that's still inside the intestines of the bird, so then he ate nevela. Metamim begadim abei sablia. That would make him tamei for eating nevela, eating food that's tamei, and all of his clothing becomes tamei when he swallows this nevela. But mi bachutz, but if he takes the egg out and he eats it outside of this carcass, so now already it's not considered nevelas of tahor, the flesh of a nevela. It's eating eggs. So then Eimat Tamei Begadim Beis Abliya. Then it wouldn't make his garments tamei. So what do you see? That even though it's not normal for a guy to bend over, put his head into a chicken carcass, and eat the egg that's inside the intestine of the chicken carcass, it is considered an act of eating. So if you're going to say that truma attached to the, that when you have a plant attached to the ground, it could become truma. So even bending over and eating it should be an act of eating. So the Gemara answers no. Talosh avidi inchi d'achlihacha. When you have things that are normally detached, like eggs, so sometimes a person eats them out of the intestines, and it is normal for a guy to bend over and eat it inside the intestines of the animal. Mechuber, but it's attached to the ground. People don't bend over and eat it while it's still attached to the ground. That's just not normal. It's something attached to the ground. They've lifted off of the ground. So a guy who does that, it's not an act of achila, and therefore he wouldn't have the laws of eating chuma because it's an abnormal way of putting stuff into the system.
But when would the act of eating be defined by the form of eating as opposed to the ingestion of food? What would you want basically?
That's the chiddush, that eating is not just food going in, it's food going in a normal way. Let's say a person on Yom Kippur hooks himself up to an IV. So liquid goes in through veins. That's not a violation of Yom Kippur. It's not eating.
So someone who has a feeding tube, that will not be deemed eating.
That's not eating. Correct. That's not eating. Amar Rav Tevyumi Bar Kisna, Amar Shmuel. Rav Tevyumi Bar Kisna said the name of Shmuel. Hazorea Kilayim. Someone who plants together two prohibited mixtures. Let's say he plants grapes with wheat. Be'atzit sheino nakuv. In a flower pot that doesn't have a hole. Nevertheless, it's aser, even though it's not in the ground. Midrabanan, it's not allowed. Amar Abaye said, Bishmo yashmin an loka makas marjus midrabanan. I would understand if he would say that if you planted grapes with wheat in a flower pot with no hole, you get rabbinic beaten up. That would make sense. Ella aser, but to say you're not allowed to. My kamashmalan, what's the chiddush? The midra abanan hav yizria. The midra abanan, this is considered a planting. Tanina, we learned that in Demai. Taram, if he separates truma, min she'eno nakuv, al nakuv, from that which grew in a pot that doesn't have a hole, on behalf of that which grew in a pot that does have a hole. Truma, it is truma midra abanan, but it wasn't truma midra raisa. The yachzav yitrom, so you have to redo it again from the pot that has a hole on behalf of a pot that has a hole. So we already see that midrabanan, it's considered truma. So of course, if you plant in a flower pot that does not have a hole, it would be aser midrabanan. So what are you adding? You already know this.
Okay. The hole, if I remember correctly, this is but the other way around, I know that in Israel some people do that. There's certain ways to do it. If you have a tree in your backyard and you're afraid that people are going to eat without truma,
right?
So what you do is you estimate, you put it away, and you say this is truma on whatever is in the tree. People in the fridge, there's a way. It's a certain, I don't remember another, but there's certain ways of doing it.
Right.
So the other way around, you can't do it.
Right.
Because otherwise people eat without truma. In Israel, it's actually...
That's true, but the truth is the snack is not obligated in truma yet. In other words, you have to have miruach. You have to smear out the pile to create tevel. So if somebody's in a field and he cooks off an apple off of a tree, that apple's not yet chayiv in truma. It was odlon ra'apne habayit. It didn't have miruach yet.
But that's like the...
Right. Nice. Yeah, nekiyadash of Yerushalayim. All right, now we go back to the laws of challah. Challah is not just the name of a loaf. Challah is the part of dough taken out of 5 pounds of dough that is supposed to be given to the Kohen. Since nowadays everybody's impure, so challah, which has a status like truma, you can't give it to a Kohen. It's like truma tmeya. So that's why the piece of dough that we take away nowadays, we put into an oven and we burn it. Okay, what's obligated in challah? Dough, which is an asiris ha'efa, namely dough of 43 and a little bit of eggs. And nowadays it would be 5 pounds. So it has to be that it came from the 5 grains, wheat, barley, spelt, oats, and rye. Says the Mishnah, chitin, wheat, vasaorin, and barley, vakusmin, and the spelt, vashibola shual, and oats, vashifon, and the rye. Hare elu chayavin b'chala. These 5 grains, if a dough is made out of them, there's an obligation of chala. Umitzdarfin zeim zeh. And we'll see sometimes some of them can combine with each other. You can't combine half of 5 pounds of wheat with half of 5 pounds of barley, but you could combine wheat with spelt. So half of 5 pounds of wheat with half of 5 pounds of spelt is considered combined to be a full 5 pounds that you're obligated to separate challah. These 5 grains are surim b'chadash m'lifnei ha-Pesach. You can't eat them if they were planted and grew before Pesach, because they need the Omer to permit the Chadash, to permit the new produce. In addition, umiliktzor, you're not allowed to harvest them in Lifnei Omer before the Omer is brought. Imishrishu, in these 5 grains, if they took root before the Omer, then a Omer matiran, the Omer makes them permitted, even though they get harvested maybe in Tammuz, they get harvested in Elul, but they took root before Pesach. Imlav, if they didn't take root before Pesach, they only take root, let's say, in Iyar or in Sivan, then Asur Natshiyavo Omer Abba, and they're prohibited until the next Omer. Says the Gemara Braisa, Tosefta, that explains this Mishnah. Tanu in the Braisa, Kusmin, spelt Minchitin, that's a type of wheat, so it can combine with wheat. Shibola Shual, oats, and shifon and rye, minson, are a type of barley. They combine with barley. Kusmin, what is kusmin? In Aramaic, it was called gulva. What is shifon? In Aramaic, it's called dishra. Shibole shual is called shibole tala. So the Gemara says, what's the point of our Mishnah? Very important law. These are the 5 grains, but rice and millet are not grains. Hani in, so these things are obligated in challah. These are the things that have a law of chadash. But orez v'dochan, but rice and millet, lo, are not obligated in challah. Minani mili, how do we know that rice and millet don't have an obligation if you make a dough of rice flour that you don't have to separate challah from it? So Rish Lakish explained, because we learn from matzah. Asked, there's a gzeira shava of lechem, and the word lechem in regards to matzah. Ksivach, it says here, v'ayabach alchamin lechem ha'aretz. It'll be when you eat from the bread of the land. Uksivach, and it says that matzah is lechem oni. So just like matzah has to be from the 5 grains, v'ayabach alchamin lechem ha'aretz, the law of chadash is only from the 5 grains. Hasam gufa minal, and how do we know that matzah is only from the 5 grains? Rish Lakish answered, v'chein tana d'ber Rabbi Shmuel, that was also taught in the Braisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, v'chein tana d'ber Elazar ben Yaakov, it was also taught in the Braisa in the yeshiva of Elazar ben Yaakov, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, lo socha lalav chametz shivas yam tocha lalav matzos lechem oni. Don't eat about it chametz for 7 days, you know, matzos, which is poor man's bread. So the Pasuk links chametz to matzah. And that's to teach you the following dvar, mabayim ludei chimutz, things that could become chametz. Adam Yotze ben Yidei Chavasel b'Pesach. Those are the things that a person could fulfill his obligation as matzah on Pesach. Yatzu Elu, it excludes rice and millet. Shein Boim Lidei Chimutz, they do not have the ability to ferment and become chametz, and therefore they cannot also serve as matzah. If you leave the rice and millet with water, there is some type of inflation of the dough. That's not chimutz, that is sirchon. Eli de sirachon. That's not called fermenting, that's called spoiling. It's a different type of inflation, and therefore it's not chametz. If it's not chametz, it can't serve as matzah when it didn't become chametz. Umitztarf and zemzeh, some of these things combine with each other. Tanu ilot jenabraisa. Tvua. If you have kernels of wheat, vakmachim, and flowers, flour from the wheat, vabitsekos, as well as dough, mitzdar from zemzet, combines with each other. L'mayilchus, in regards to what is it saying that they combine? Rav Kahana said, l'inyin chadash, in regards to chadash, that if somebody takes a little kernel of wheat before the omer, and some flour of wheat that was planted and grew before the omer, and some dough made out of the flour that was planted and grew before the omer, and before the omer he mixes this combination, these three items together, so that they are a kazayas, and he eats it before the omer, he would get malchus, he'd get lashes. So it's saying it combines to give lashes for the prohibition of eating chadash. Rabbi Yosef, when it says that it combines, is le'inyin pesach, in regards to pesach, that if you put together a kazayas of kernels of wheat, mixing with water and a little dough and a little flour, and he eats it, he'd be chayav for the laws of kazayas on Pesach, kazayas of chametz on Pesach. Rav Papa Amar, Rav Papa said, what does it mean it combines? Le'inyin ma'aser sheni, that if he combined kernels of wheat with flour, with dough of ma'aser sheni, and to be a kazayas, the yachle chutz lachom, and he eats this kazayas of this mixture of three items outside of the wall of Yushalayim of Ma'aser Sheni, lucky you would get malchus because it combines. And Rabba Amar, Rabba says the combination is lenient to mas ochlin, in regards to the impurity of food, which, as we've just mentioned before, in regards to the dead animal, if you eat an egg worth of impure food, it creates impurity on the person once he swallows the food. And these things combine. Here's the chiddush, that the law of the grain kernels as well as the flour, is like the dough. Mahasam, just like in regards to the dough, ochla be'ena, you'd have to eat just the dough without unedible stuff mixed into it, right? Because people normally sift flour before they make it into dough. So too, avhachanami, here too, when you have grain kernels and flour, it had to be uchla be'ena. It would have to be grain kernels, but not grain kernels together with chaff. It would have to be flour, but not flour together with, you know, clumps, with sediments. Because those are not considered food. For Tanya, as we learned in a brisa, chita, when you have a wheat kernel, bein klufa, whether it is peeled, uvein sheina klufa, whether it's not peeled, mitztaref, as it can combine with other foods, with dough. But sora, but when you have a barley kernel, klufa, if it's peeled, mitzdaref, as it can combine with dough to be tomas ochlin, but kisheena klufa, if it's not peeled, ena mitzdaref, as it doesn't combine. Asks the Gemara, eni, is that so? Vatana deber b'yishmael, but we know that there were students in the yeshiva of Yishmael who taught a brisa in regards to tomas ochlin. The verse says, v'chiyipo minivlasam al kol zera zarua asher yizareya, and if it'll fall from the dead nevela on any seed that will be planted. So kederach shebnei adam otzian lizria. So that means foods that people take out to plant. Chita bikli pasa, wheat in its peel. Saora bikli pasa, barley in its peel. Adashim bikli pasan, lentils in their peel. So you see that the peels do combine with the food. And it's the Gemara Lokash, it's not a contradiction. The Braisa of Rabbi Yishmael is Balachos, peels that are still moist. So since they're still moist, they are edible and they are considered food. The first Braisa is Biavashos, peels that are dry. Once peels are dry, the peels are not food. So then we're saying it's compared to dough, just like the dough is fully edible. The kernels have to be fully edible. The peels can't combine to the kernels. Then the Mishnah said, these five grains are surim b'chadosh melifnei ha-Pesach. They have the prohibition of chadosh before Pesach. Minan immediately, how do we know this? Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish said again, b'gzei reshav, we saw before, as yolechem lechem imatzah. We have a gzei reshav, it says lechem here. It says lechem in regards to matzah, and that is the source. The liktzar, lifnei omer, you're now going to cut these things down before the omer. We know this. Rabbi Yochanan explained, Asya, we know it also from Gzeirah Shava, Reishis from Chala. It says in regards to cutting before the Omer, Reishis Ktzirchem. This is the first of what you're cutting. It says in regards to Chala, Reishis Ariso Sechem. It says in both Reishis. So just like Chala is from the five grains, so too the five grains can't be cut down before the Omer. So Gemara says, "My kodem la omer." What does it mean that you can't cut the five grains before the omer? Rabbi Yona omer means kodem ktiras omer. You can't cut the other grains before you cut the barley for the omer. It's the night of this, right after the first day of Pesach. That night you cut the new grain for the omer. But after that, come the morning, you can now cut every grain, even though the omer hasn't been brought yet. However, Rabbi Yossi ben Zavda omer kodem avas omer. You have to wait for the omer to be brought for the grain to be cut. Okay, Bezrat Hashem, we'll continue here tomorrow.